Hello, everyone. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce our guest speaker for the evening. It is Reverend Emily McGinley, and I'm going to tell you a little something about her before she comes up. Reverend Emily McGinley is the founding pastor of Urban Village Church, Hyde Park, Woodlawn. She became a Christian in the non-denominational evangelical tradition before attending McCormick Theological Seminary in Chicago and entering ordained ministry in the PCUSA. Reverend McGinley has extensive experience working with leaders across diverse networks and Christian traditions. She has preached and presented nationally on the topics of vocational discernment, preaching for millennials, church planting, social media in ministry, inclusive evangelism, and anti-racist church leadership. In addition to coaching individuals and congregations, she was a contributing writer to the book Intercultural Ministry, Hope for a Changing World. She is committed to building gospel-shaped inclusive spaces that nurture, challenge, and practice radical hospitality. Please join me in welcoming her.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for welcoming to your pulpit and to this sacred space. And thank you to Tony and the team for blessing my spirit with that music. I think we are all ready, our spirits are ready for God to maybe do something within us and through us today. Please join me in a word of prayer first, though. God, we are grateful for the gift that it is to gather together on days like these where the sun shines bright and we are reminded again of your warmth in our lives. And we also thank you for those opportunities to gather, maybe even at the end of a hard week where it felt like it took everything in us to show up today. And so we ask that you would clear away the clutter of our hearts and minds that we might hear more clearly what it is that you have to say to us and do through us such that this world might be a greater reflection of your grace, of your love, of your wholeness of life for all. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. About a year or so ago, my three-year-old daughter discovered the television show Dora the Explorer. Have any of you ever seen it? Now, I had never seen it, but I knew it was popular, and one day after she started watching it, I was home in another room when I suddenly heard her shouting, nearly screaming, with a fierce urgency in her voice, "Backpack! Backpack!" And I heard it again and again, and so finally, I went to go see what was going on, and the first thing I noticed after watching for a while was that everything in Dora the Explorer feels urgent. We have to save the Ice Princess. We must get to Blueberry Hill. And the key resource for achieving all of these goals, the must-have tool, was the map. And he even has his own little song, which basically goes something like, "I'm the map, I'm the map, I'm the map, I'm the map, I'm the map. I'm the map." It's very easy to get stuck in your head. Now, the circumstances vary, the goals change, but always the map remains. It is the central resource for knowing how to get to where we want to go, how to prepare for what might come our way, and a map of a sort is what we're talking about today. Now, if you come from a Methodist background, you might be familiar with what is often called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral, which is a fancy-pants way to talk about the four resources that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist tradition, often emphasized for Christian living: scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. These were the go-to touch points, the map, for discernment, decision-making, and wayfinding in faith. But for as sincere as all those Wesleyan scholars were in their attributions, I'm going to have to call out that there was just a touch of Columbusing going on, because this approach already existed, it just didn't have Wesley's name stamped all over it, right? This approach is found throughout scripture and is prominently at play in our passage for today, but first let me give you the lay of the land in terms of what's happening here. Now, all throughout the Gospels up until this point, the main drama of Scripture was focused on Jews within a very specific region, the areas where Jesus walked and talked and did his ministry. And this was multiplied out on the day of Pentecost when Jews from even broader regions who came from diverse cultures, who spoke diverse languages and embodied diverse expressions of the faith, were brought into the mix of this new thing that God had started through Jesus. And all this diversity was challenging but generally manageable because by and large it was all in the family. But But then Paul came on the scene and was just like willy-nilly spreading Jesus' message of wholeness of life for all over the place, among all kinds of people. And for the most part, Paul and his partner Barnabas were able to do their thing as they were led because they were on the front end of spreading the gospel. In other words, they were out there in places and among people that the OG Jews, the folks at the center, just weren't all that interested in touching. And it was in those spaces and among those people that Paul and Barnabas were having a front row seat to the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. But then there are some folks who feel like they need to kind of like put a finer point on what Paul has been preaching just to make sure everyone's on the same page, no one's getting any crazy ideas. And so this group comes out from Judea to let folks know that if they want to hang, they've got to snip, if you know what I'm talking about. And Paul and Barnabas are feeling protective of their people, these new followers. So they're like, wait, what? So they get in it with these folks and everyone's feeling frustrated and they realize, hold up, okay, let's ask the elders. So Paul and Barnabas head to Jerusalem to set the record straight. And when they get there, they are ready. Their PowerPoint is both informative and captivating, not too wordy. Barnabas hits his punchlines with just perfect timing. Paul is using big hand gestures and multisyllabic words to remind people that he is powerful and educated. And they tell of all the wonders that God has been doing. They share about their experience. But then when they're done, permit Patty, that is the few Pharisees, stand up and ask if these new believers have got the credentials, or in this case, the foreskin, or lack thereof, to be claiming membership in the community. And at first blush, it feels a little petty, right? But I'm going to put on my compassion glasses, as I am wont to do when I move too quickly to judgment, to understand just a little bit better. Because what these Pharisees are really talking about, what they're speaking from and speaking for, is tradition. Circumcision, they say, is a generations-long sign of God's special covenant with the people of Israel. If these newbies aren't circumcised, how will they mark this central aspect of our collective identity? What makes these people different from any of the other goys in the hood, right? More importantly, if they haven't done this, what makes them one of us? And everyone in the assembly is nodding their heads and saying, yes, yes, tradition. A few minutes go by as people kind of digest this argument before Peter stands up. Now, Peter knows what it's like to have no reason for God to love him but be accepted anyway. Peter stands up and he's like, okay, yeah, Permit Patty has a point, but well, maybe we need to think about this in a different way. Let's reason together. Maybe we need to think a little bit more broadly. Like maybe belonging is less about circumcision and more about the Spirit's movement and invitation. Maybe instead of debating, maybe what we need to do is be thinking about how we can participate in what the Spirit is doing. And everyone's nodding, yes, the man has a point. Reason. But then finally, James, the scholar disciple, looks to Scripture to guide the way. Remember, he says, remember how the prophet Amos pointed us to this moment? God said through Amos, I will rebuild David's fallen tent. I will restore it so that the rest of humanity will seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles will belong to me. Instead of deciding whether they're in or out, maybe we should focus on helping them understand how their lives ought to be shaped by this new faith that they are proclaiming. Eyes light up. Oh yeah, that's right. The prophets. Scripture. And from the mix of all these voices and deliberations, a decision is reached, a proposal is made, a way forward is found, and God blows open the doors to new possibilities of transformation and new life. Paul and Barnabas had an experience. The Pharisees examined that experience in light of tradition. Peter called the community to reason in the tension between these two, and James pointed them toward Scripture. Experience, tradition, reason, and Scripture. This map enabled them to navigate a situation where norms, assumptions, and expectations were being challenged in new and maybe even scary ways. And through this, they held themselves and one another accountable to faithful decision-making and wayfinding, maybe even in spite of their personal opinions. Now, it'd be tempting to cluck our tongues at those foolish early Christians who just didn't seem to get it back then, right? But if we're honest with ourselves, we'd admit that the whole tradition versus experience conversation isn't just a debate from the past, right? It's always going on in just about every context. I can't tell you how many videos or articles I've seen about how lazy and entitled millennials are. Why can't they grow up? Why don't they just get like a real job and buy a house instead of blowing all their money on avocado toast and Netflix subscriptions? But the data shows a very different experience, right? Millennials can't buy homes because real jobs that pay a decent enough salary, offering enough coverage for student loan repayments and opportunities to save, are really hard to find. Amen? Amen. Not to mention that those millennials aren't even paying for their Netflix subscription because they're sponging off their old roommate's ex-girlfriend's account, right? Ask me how I have Hulu Plus. Tradition is important. It's valuable to have milestones that mark our growth and status as adults. That's why so many cultures have rites of passage for moving into adulthood. Tradition isn't bad, right? But tradition can't live long if it operates in ways that are ignorant of our experience. It will break if it's too rigid. In fact, each aspect of the map is less a bunch of rules to be followed and more a set of principles, able to respond to whatever moment in time, whatever dilemma or challenge we find ourselves facing. Tradition reminds us that we are connected to our ancestors and that their wisdom can guide us. Experience is the lived reality that we find ourselves living in and experiencing, right? And Scripture tells us of the many and varied ways that God desires to be in relationship with us. Reason reminds us that intellect, critical thinking, and scientific processes hold us to a rigorous understanding. To read the Bible without applying reason, well, you end up with the Creation Museum. The map helps us to remind us to keep our faith accountable to the resources for discernment that are available to us, that have been given to us as gifts by God. Many of us can think of times when the church has made the most of the map, leading the way with incredibly courageous, life-giving decisions that have helped human flourishing and creation care. Other times we've seen that same church become an instrument of pain, used in service of violence, oppression, and injustice. Often we see both results on the same issues, whether it has been on slavery, gender equality, marriage, sexual orientation, economic justice, or you name it. Because the church is a human institution, it means that we are very prone to making human mistakes, letting anxiety drive our decision-making, allowing fear to overtake our senses. Sometimes we hurt each other, intentionally or by accident. Sometimes we suffer from restricted imagination. The map doesn't always solve our problems perfectly, but what it does do is remind us that the work we do and the lives we lead as Christians can be done with wisdom, faithfulness, and sometimes the surprising guidance of the Holy Spirit. It also reminds us that we don't have to do this work alone, that we do it best when we do it together, in fact. And as we lean into and through the diverse lenses that we bring, as we lean on the resources of our faith, we might find that our perspectives have changed or our understanding has deepened. We might even realize, like the council in Jerusalem so long ago, that maybe the rule isn't quite as important as the result. Human communities can be messy, as, well, humans are, right? But if we press forward, if we allow God to move through us because of us and in spite of us, powerful new possibilities can emerge. Are you facing decisions that feel muddy or complex? Are you uncertain of what your next move in life ought to be? Are you looking for a way through a complicated set of challenges? If you're not sure, pull out the map. Look to Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, and put them in conversation with the Spirit, and then see how God shows up. Do these things on your own and with community, and see what gets revealed. You might be fully transformed, or you might just have a moment where things become clear. Either way, your faithful response could be the very thing that blows open the doors to the next thing that God wants to do in the world. But you'll never know unless you pull out the map. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that you give us, that you supply us with the things that we need, both in one another, but also in this map, that that in fact the way forward to understand how it is that we can live into the lives that you've called us to lead demands that we consult multiple viewpoints, multiple resources. And so I ask that you would help this community to be the kind of community that leans into the challenge and the tension and the beautiful possibilities that come forward when we are willing to open ourselves to the ways that you want to show us faithful way-making and decision-making in our lives and as a community. We pray this with gratitude and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.